donut I had this morning for breakfast. It had colorful sparkly sprinkles all over it. Glam is the lip gloss I bought last night. Glam is my Hello Kitty wristband. Glam is Outkast. Glam is Prince in the 1999 video with, like, dry ice and crazy lights and lesbians and elevator shoes and guitars. And it's everything that I believe in life. It's freedom from mortality and from the strictures of gender and race. It's the yearning for freedom from gravitivity and society and all these foolish games. This is Pop Vultures, and I'm Kate Sullivan.
The television man is crazy, Sam with juvenile delinquent Rex.
Is the essence of rock and roll. If you're going to make a movie about a rock figure or somebody who sells their soul to be a big star or whatever, inevitably they're going to be a glam artist. They're not going to be a grunge guy. And if it's going to be a country guy, then he's going to be one of those rhinestone glam country guys. Because this is rock and roll. It's got crazy outfits. It's got makeup. It's something different than a normal person, kind of to the extreme. It's you know, outer space stuff and sex stuff and weird shoes. And with that in mind, in that it's the essence of rock and roll, at a time that everyone's going hippie, everyone's going dippy.
Trippy.
They're tripping out. They're doing like 17-minute baloney jobs, right? What comes in glam? And what's one of its main influences? Well, it's this 50s sense of rock and roll. And everybody else is off on some crazy tangent that has little connection to the beginnings of rock and roll. And they bring it back, but they bring it back fantastic. And they're doing the boogie-woogie on a Saturday night kind of stuff. But also, you know, and I'm from space, and I'm all that, you know, is rock and roll in the glorious new era.
Mm-hmm.
And the future as well.
So perhaps Little Richard would be the first glam rocker.
But no, you can't be, just because T-Rex is going to do Summertime Blues, that doesn't make Eddie Cochran glam. See what I'm saying?
That's not what I was suggesting.
Well, sure sounded a hell of a lot like that.
I was suggesting that he perfected, if not originated, fanciful looks, glittery jackets, makeup, and 50s sort of sped up doo-wop-y songs about cars and girls.
What
and,
songs,
and effeminate vocals.
What songs are about cars and girls by Little Richard? Is it Tutti Frutti, Oh Rudy, Wop Bava Loo Bava Wop Bam Boom?
Well, if that's not a glam song, then I don't know where the suite we're getting any of their stuff from.
Wop Bava Loo Bava Lam Bam Bam Tutti Frutti.
I wanted to talk about glam rock moments, the glam moment, is because I think that it may be a good genre of music for moments of infinite potential suspended in time that are unspeakably exciting and inspiring.
Which is basically doing the job that rock and roll is supposed to do.
Right
there. Boom.
Right, right.
You got it.
Right.
It's special. It's different. It makes you feel funny inside. It fills you with rock and roll desire. And this is what it's all about.
Right.
Yes, glam does that more than any other genre. Well, see, yeah, it acknowledges the silliness of what you're doing in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you're going to stand up and make, you know, noises with your guitar and hit things with sticks and jump around and say funny things. and then in like, hey, everybody, look this way.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And you don't have to actually make the joke, but like, it is inherently silly. Like in my band, I remember this one particular practice we had, and you know, we're all like, you know, think we're smart or whatever. We're all college educated, and like, we're trying to communicate to each other in the same band. And we're going, okay, so when you go like, then like, we're going to go, wee, 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 you know? Okay, then it's like, kind of like, we're reduced to communicating with each other that way.
Right.
It is silly. It is all done in this kind of like, the baboon dancing to get the other baboons to like it or whatever. You know, it's silly. Wow.
Abba dabba dabba, said the monkey to the chimp.
Right. You know, and what's the difference between, you know, Mick Jagger saying, you know, hey! You know, it's just like, but it's like, it's great and it's silly. And you know what I mean?
I know. Okay, do you have any favorite glam moments?
I do. It's funny that you say that. It's funny that you ask that.
Yeah.
The final performance of Mark Bolan of T-Rex is probably one of the great glam rock moments. It's the last taping of his show that he had on the BBC called The Mark Show, which is pretty funny in and of itself. It's really, really low production value. He's doing his worst lip syncing, so drunk. Some of it's live vocals. He does a version of Telegram Sam, which was a hit for him like maybe 4 or 5 years before then, and he like gets out of this like cardboard spaceship that's like shaking and like teetering, and all this like dry ice and stuff. And he comes out and like can't remember the words to Telegram Sam. And it's like a really awful kind of karaoke kind of version of it, and he's almost fallen down. You know, pretty good show if you like to see the destruction of one of your idols. But on the last taping, the last song they did, he was paired up for the first time ever live with David Bowie on stage. And they played a song. I'm not sure who wrote it, but apparently it was written just for that. And it's called Standing Next to You. And in that performance, Bowie kept missing his vocal cue. And then in the end, Mark Bolan stumbled and fell off the stage.
Oh my God.
In a song called Standing Next to You. But and then like a few weeks later, you know, his wife crashed the car and he died. So that's probably my greatest glam rock moment. It's gotta be, doesn't it? It says so much. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if we find out that Bowie, you know, tripped him or pushed him or something.
I think that David Bowie is actually one of the glammiest rockers ever.
David Bowie, thank you, David Bowie, for aging gracefully and for still writing and performing awesome music. You put the Rolling Stones to shame.
Anyway, that brings me to my first glam rock moment, which is when I went to a costume party with Benno, and his costume was glam rock, the concept.
I remember it.
Which just meant he wore like a pretty shiny suit and lots of eye makeup.
How incredibly sexy is it when the guy's wearing makeup?
It's really fun, because when boys have on lip gloss, they move their mouths differently than when they don't.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean like when you first try nail polish, you start using your fingers a lot
more? Yeah, it's a little bit gay. In a good way. And then my other glam rock moment revolved around a Minneapolis band called The Odd.
Rest in peace.
Tripping over a plastic cup, step over the spot where you threw up. Oh yeah, baby pants.
This is a band that you and I were in, of course.
we were in the band, but we were a band in the band called Candy Girl.
Right. We were like a little, a Snap-on tool, we called ourselves.
We were a Snap-on tool. We were a concept band.
Yeah. But before we were in it, I'd gone to see a ton of shows with The Odd, and the very first show I went to was really, really glam rock. And I remember thinking how wonderful it was that this silly band who's doing these ridiculous things, like Mark Mallman was humping his keyboard, which was placed on top of a ironing board. And I was so impressed that they that they did all this stuff and they lived it. It was true.
It was theater. An ironing board, not an irony board.
Yeah.
You're so right about that. They were for a moment the most exciting band in the world. I think maybe another one of my favorite glam rock moments was driving to a gig with Tom and his van and turning on the stereo, and it was probably like the Stones, you know? And like cracking open a couple beers, you know, just driving Minneapolis, drinking beers from the can, going to the gig. And that might be one of my finest glam rock moments.
I remember I was always like, you can't do that.
I know, I'd never done that before. I actually haven't done that since, except once my mom picked me up from the airport and opened a beer for me.
Oh.
She's got a glam rock side, too.
Yeah, obviously.
I love the way you walk, don't you know you're a cool motivator?
I suppose I would have to say my favorite glam rocker is Mark Bolan of T-Rex. But he's so glam that he's even beyond glam. If glam is the eternal yearning for complete freedom, he's beyond it. He's like Prince, you know? He's created his own universe, his own dimension. A big, big part of his charm is his voice. His voice is... it runs the gamut from childlike to... and childlike and sort of genuinely innocent to self-consciously... effeminate to, you know, kind of rockin' and masculine. And I guess I really like his effeminate side a lot.
Love the golden cat. I love the velvet hat, you know, the one that caused a revolution.
Maybe this is a good moment to talk about the poignant absurdity of his lyrics.
You're talking about, like, what's it like to be a loon? I liken it to a balloon.
My favorite is, I love the velvet hat, you know, the one that caused a revolution.
Right. Well, you know, I used to judge a band by if the lyrics were good. I would decide whether a band's lyrics were good or not based on if I could imagine them singing T-Rex lyrics. Especially, I'd be watching a band or listening to a band and kind of on the fence about it. And if I couldn't imagine them singing... the president's weird, he's got a burgundy beard, then like they were no good. Like they weren't sparking my imagination enough.
The president's weird, he's got a burgundy beard.
Like if you're gonna be in a rock band and go to all the trouble to do everything you can to get people to listen and get me to listen to you, then you need to have the ability to say something like the president's weird, he's got a burgundy beard. Because I deserve that, and we all deserve that as people. As rock listeners, as rock fans.
Girl, you're good, and I've got wild needs for you. Oh, mountain range, I'm Doctor Strange for you.
Anything off Mambo Sun is great. I got stars in my beard, and I feel real weird. On mountain range, I'm Doctor Strange. But he always ends it like for you, and you can feel that he means it, and you know, cause, and then he mixes it up with real ones like with my hat in my hand, I'm a hungry man for you, and then he says, I got a powder keg leg and my wig's all pooped, you know, for you, but it's for you. But then he says,
right, I got bitter knees.
Yeah, exactly. His knees are bitter.
Can we talk about the glam rock influence on Motley Crue?
Of course we can.
Because Nikki Sixx...
Yes.
I haven't read the book, but
okay.
I understand that Nikki Sixx was a huge T-Rex fan.
Sure.
and he kind of wanted Motley Crue to be glammy.
Sure, and they were. But in like a codpiece, leather kind of way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Like apparently the other guys in the band didn't even like T-Rex.
That wouldn't surprise me.
And like he thinks that they're like a glam band, but the rest of the guys just wanted to like, you know, rock.
Well, that's why they're so great, is that you can't, and maybe that's why they were so successful. And maybe that's how come they were able to take a lot of things that like the Sweet did and T-Rex did in the 70s and actually make them popular in America in the 80s was because, you know, you get some codpiece, you know, you don't go just glam and femmy. You go glam and kind of road warrior. You throw in a little kind of post-apocalyptic business. You throw a codpiece on. It's like three codpieces in that band. Tattoos. Very tough. Very like, it's all burned down and we're the last survivors because we're so awesome. And they hit the Satanism pretty hard, although vaguely. They hit it hard and vague, which is always good. And they put the girls in the cages, turned up the smoke. Totally hetero. Having a good time rocking and rolling. Sped up the songs. Added a punk element.
Why do people say that they're glammy?
Well, because they're wearing lipstick and they're, you know.
So there's no T-Rex musical influence.
Okay, maybe lyrically there's some Crue glam things. Because they're like, there's a lot of like crash and smash and electricity and these kinds of lyrics in glam rock music. And talking about I'm a this because I do this, right? I'm a groover. I'm the something something. I'm the what's it, right? And Crue does that. They do that.
She's a hellraiser.
Yeah, he says I'm a live wire, you know? And then, you know, stuff like that. You know?
I know, man. I know.
That's what I'm saying.
How'd you do, I? See, you've met my faithful handyman. He's just a little brought down because when you knocked, he thought you were the candy man. Don't get strung up by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from trans.
Well, one of my favorite glam rock moments is in the Rocky Horror Picture Show when Tim Curry as the sweet transvestite Frankenfurter first appears.
Yes.
The camera zooms in on his glittering elevator pump.
Yes.
And his foot is tapping to the beat of the song.
Oh, yes.
And the entire audience is clapping along.
Oh, my, yes.
That's one of my favorite glam rock moments.
So, come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with anticipation.
I really like the term glam because, like we were saying, like all the like labels there are of genres, it's the most kind of like, you can make it mean whatever you want depending on your own particular genius as an artist and a listener.
Well, you know, I mean, it's it follows some basic, you know, standards, but, you know, it can be anything from a punk band can be glam and to a, you know, a country, a rhinestone cowboy can be glam.
Well, that's the mystery of the term glam. Is it a musical term? Is it a more overarching spiritual thing? Is it a visual thing?
Partially. The New York Dolls are not glam, I would say, because they had purses.
So they're just drag.
Yeah, because there's a difference. And you never really felt that they were gay, maybe.
Well, you never felt that about a glam band. I certainly don't feel that about the Sweet or T-Rex.
You wonder about Mark Bolan a little bit.
You wonder if maybe he was a switch hitter from time to time.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's bisexuality, I suppose, more than gay.
Yeah.
You worry about that with Bowie. You worry about that with Mark Bolan. You worry about the little kids with Gary Glitter.
You do.
Which is a whole different thing. Gary Glitter, just in his name, and in it, that's the kind of the sham of the glam, right? It's cartoonish, it's buffoonish, it's oafish, it's funny. He comes riding in on
it's
a big.
It's lampoonish.
Yes, it's Creature from the Black Lagoonish. It's
Rangoonish.
It's the real Cancunish. It's you know.
It's not later, but it's soonish.
No, well, I tell you what, the dish ran away with the spoonish. Mm-hmm. And you got to give it up to him, you know.
So you're saying that he's the sham?
Yeah. Well, he's the sham of glam. He's kind of like, it takes the fun of glam and kind of like takes it to the extreme kind of silly kind of level. While still being, it's good because the music's like catchy and good and like, you know, he's the leader of the gang and he's the man who put the bang in gang, and he can make you jump out of bed standing on your head and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
There are certain quirks of like the Sweet or Gary Glitter that other people have borrowed. One of them is like shouting all together.
Yes, the gang vocal?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I feel like the Sweet has that a lot.
The two snare drums on, and then the two people playing the toms, yeah. Very, that's signature glam. And yet, I was saying to you before that like our two big glam guys, your Bowie and your T-Rex, don't use that drum beat, and you would say that they used it in Hot Love, but
I felt that, what, but what?
But not in the same kind of tom, double drum kind of thing.
Well, Susie Quattro uses it, right?
A little bit.
And Gary Glitter, and those are probably the two most prominent glam artists in America.
Didn't Susie Quattro become, she went on Happy Days.
Yeah, she was like Leather Tuscadero, Pinky Tuscadero's rock and roll sister.
Right.
Or cousin or something.
I don't know. I didn't watch it.
I watched it. She looked like Joan Jett.
Who covered what? Do You Want to Touch Me by Gary Glitter.
She idolized Susie Quattro.
Did she?
I think that Joan Jett based her deal on Susie Quattro.
That wouldn't surprise me.
I'm surprised that you didn't know that.
Know what?
That Joan Jett was into Susie Quattro.
I didn't think about it.
The hair alone.
You know, and Joan Jett does a lot of like, you know, like 50s covers and stuff.
Joan Jett's got a real glam rock like tradition going on.
I know.
Inside, but she said, "Oh, wham, bam, gonna make it mine."
other band that I really love is The Sweet. It's just, they're one of these bands that is so important. Like, I can say they're important and you'll, you know, people will agree because I can point to all the bands that they influenced. But I just like them. Like, I just love their music. And they, you know, they never made it, really. I think it's just another example of somebody who's, or a group who, that are so visionary that they're not really going to, kind of like the Velvet Underground, they're not really going to cross over, but they have their place. They'll have their day. Some would say that The Darkness are their sort of tribute band, as The Strokes are for the Velvet Underground. I guess I would buy that, too. The Darkness certainly aren't as interesting musically, but the dude from The Darkness is just, he is so vocally so mimicking The Sweet. And that's fun. It's just fun. Like that song, I Believe in a Thing Called Love. They're doing something fun, and I'm not, you know, gonna, like, start following them around on their tour or anything, but I bet it'd be pretty fun if I did. I bet you they have a fun tour bus.
The Sweet used to dress up like Indians and stuff, so it's possible that the Village People killed glam for America, finally and totally, by homoing it up real good. You know, in a real kind of obvious kind of way, mm-hmm. You know, and kind of making the costume kind of persona rock of like I'm the alien. Okay, it's like, oh, you're the alien. You know, I'm the construction worker. You know, and so with that kind of in mind, maybe like America got more scared of that and kind of said, we're going to be finished with this now for a little while.
Pop Vultures is produced by Prairie Home Productions and presented by American Public Media. Today's Glim Glam guests were Jeff Whalen, Hillary Churchill, and Vinnie and the Stardusters. The creators are Catherine Slusher, Tiffany Hansen, Jason Keeler, Garrison Keeler, and me, Kate Sullivan. Check out our website at popvultures.org. Cause your bim bam baby is getting back tonight. Get my slim slam slippers and my easy chair. Run your greasy fingers through my greasy hair. Kiss me, baby, let me hold you tight. Glam is the Beatles in their marching band costumes on the cover of Sgt. Pepper, and
too many mustaches to be glam. You know, really, truly, it comes down to that. You can't have a mustache and be glam. 'Cause your bim bam baby is coming home tonight.
American Public Media.